You may be seated. Joy, unspeakable joy. I mean, just imagine being the shepherds in the field on that day and having a whole host of angels just appearing to you and singing joy. I think we have a lot that we can be joyful about when we consider Christmas season and all the implications of what that means for all eternity. And so thank you, worship team, for bringing that to us this morning. It was September 6th of 1997. It had probably been one of the longest days of my life up to that point in time. I was a youth pastor. I was part-time youth pastoring in a church. I was also the CE director for the church at that time. I was in transition working two other jobs on top of that. One, I was what was called a lumper. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. But a lumper was a person that unloaded truck trailers at a grocery warehouse. So I was getting up early doing that. And at the same time, I was transitioning to another job delivering water. And it was August 6th, by the way, not September 6th, August 6th. I was transitioning to another job as well. So on that particular morning, I had to be up and at the warehouse for the groceries at 6 o'clock, and I was unloading trailers till about the middle of the day with that. After that, I transitioned, drove over to the water delivery company where I was working at that one. And for the rest of the afternoon, I worked there until about 5 o'clock when I got off of work, but I had about a half hour to make it to a meeting at the church, a board meeting, which lasted until about 9 o'clock that evening. So by the time I got home, by the time I got showered, it was about 11 o'clock, I was finally able to slow down, stop, get into bed. I was exhausted. And we shut off the lights, we said goodnight, and all of a sudden in the dark I hear, I think my water just broke. I shot up fast, turned on the lights, and you know, here I am, I'm panicking, I'm like, what do I do? Well, I don't know, I've never done this before. So she comes back into the room a minute later, and she goes, I don't know, false alarm maybe, I don't know. Okay, lay back down, shut the light off again, I'm ready to just about pass out, and I hear, nope, that's the real thing. Once again, lights go on, shoot up out of bed. We're ready to go. What are we going to do? What do we do? We call the doctor or the midwife and say, what should we do? The water's broke. Everything's ready to happen here. What are we supposed to do? We're all excited. And she goes, calm down. You probably won't even have to come into the hospital for several hours. You know, probably even in the morning. Just relax. You know, if contractions get to be this so many minutes apart, then you might want to do that and come in. And we're like, okay. So, you know, now we've never done this before. And all of a sudden, she's like, oh, I feel something. Okay, all right, that's a contraction. Within an hour, I'm rushing her to the hospital because not only did we meet that time, we were actually underneath the time that our midwife says, oh, if you get below this, you want to get to the doctor because that means, or the hospital, that means the baby's coming. So we shoot out. 3 hours later, I'm holding my first child in my arms. Now, what an incredible, I mean, I was exhausted, but what an incredible experience. But in that moment, there was a reality that hit me that I had not ever experienced in my life before. I just gained a new title and a whole new job. I'm now dad. I'm now a father. And all of a sudden, as I'm holding this child in my arms, I realize that my life before this was all about me. It was about the things that I wanted to do, the things that I liked to do. I could go to bed when I wanted to. I could go out to eat whenever I wanted to. We could do anything we wanted to do. And all of a sudden now, everything changed. I was a father. And in that moment, there was something that hit me. I'm responsible for this little package. I have to protect her. I have to provide for her. I have to be her father. I had never had training for this. I didn't go to school for this. I had no clue what I was doing. Yeah, I babysat a couple of times. You know, some people were daring enough to get a young boy and say, "Would you watch my kid?" They were hard-pressed. Thankfully, none of them ever had to go to the hospital. But I had no experience of this. And as I was in those moments and as I went through the next years of life, I realized something about the name Everlasting Father. We've been looking at the names of Jesus that were given to him in Isaiah chapter 9. And if you would take your Bibles and turn there with me, we're going to look at the name Everlasting Father today. But Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 6. I read it the first week. You read it with me last week. Let's see if we can say it together again. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Everlasting Father. We talked about Wonderful Counselor, how he will rule as king. Mighty God, last week we talked about his power and all that that encompasses when he's doing all that he can do, the power that he has. But when we look at Everlasting Father, we see a whole different angle on what this means. Again, remember that these were the names that were given, "For unto us a child is born." So these were names that were given to Jesus, but they're names that will come into full fulfillment when he returns as king over all the earth. Everlasting Father is probably one of the three that, for me, I love this one. But I also understand that for many, this is a very difficult one. This is one of those names that there are individuals who maybe do not have a positive influence or a positive image of a father in their home. As a matter of fact, in the world in which we live, in the country in which we live, many do not experience a good father. As a matter of fact, in the National Fatherhood Initiative group that is out there, they found that approximately 17.8 million children, roughly one out of every four children in the United States, comes from a home where there is no father or no father figure. Now understand that this is a home where there is no father, no father figure. This doesn't even take into play the what is called shared parenting. It also doesn't take into account those homes where there is a father figure, but there is an abusive situation or a disconnected father. And so when we look at this name, Everlasting Father, for some, this is a very difficult one. Now for me, I love this one because I had the picture of a great godly father. My dad was he's still alive. He's a wonderful father. Wonderful guy. As a young man growing up, I looked up to him. I saw him as a man of God. I saw him as a father that led his family well. And so for me to look at this picture of a heavenly father, I have that positive image. But for those that don't understand, our Everlasting Father is one who has incredible attributes. This everlasting Father is one that should be encouraging to us. One that we should look forward to. And understand, everlasting Father, the title given to Him as a child, is one that He is dealing with, He is working on right now. He is our everlasting Father, and He will reign like an everlasting Father. Now, when you think about a king ruling as a father, that changes again how they rule. But there's a couple of things that we need to understand prior to this, because there's one concept or one aspect of everlasting Father that no father on this earth could ever give to their children. When we look at the name Everlasting Father, we understand that as the Everlasting Father, He possesses eternity. He holds eternity in His hand. We see this in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, one of those familiar verses that we have. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was Jesus." And so we see clearly that Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus is eternal. He possesses eternity. We see this again in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, sometimes we struggle with this because He's called the Son. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and so there's this dilemma that is in there, because our minds, we perceive that if I am a father and I have a son or I have a daughter, that therefore the daughter comes after the father. And so we look at the son and we go, there must have been a start for the Son of God. We can look at this verse even, we can say, well, He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, you and I were all here yesterday, we're all here today, and we will live for eternity. But where is this? Is this Jesus, the one who was born? Scripture shows us that He was before that. He was before eternity. He was before creation. How do we justify this? Well, if you look at Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13, this is when He returns. Look at the words of Jesus. He says, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Right there in that passage, Jesus clearly defines His position for eternity. He says, "I was not created, I was." Jesus actually even says the words in the New Testament. He says, "I am. Before Abraham was, I am." I am is the name of God. Remember, we talked last week that whatever is attributed to God the Father also is attributed to the Son. So the Son possesses eternity. He was from beginning to end, Alpha, Omega, first and the last. And so we see in the Father, in the everlasting Father name that He gets, that He possesses eternity. And this is important for us, because if He is the possessor of eternity, then He can also be the giver of eternal life. He gives us eternal life. If He doesn't possess eternity, He can't give something that He doesn't possess. I mean, that's just logical, right? If I'd have something, if I don't have something, I can't give something that I don't have. As a matter of fact, we kind of had this happen to our family kind of recently. Have you ever had it where you went online and you, quote, pre-order something? Anybody ever done that? Well, you pre-order something, and it's basically this. You put the money down, you pre-order it, and then they say, when this comes in, we will let you, we'll send it to you. Well, in this circumstance, in this situation, what happened is the pre-order came out. It was signed up months in advance, and all of a sudden this item was released and nothing happened. And all of a sudden there was an email that came in that said, "We're sorry, there was a supply issue. We don't have enough to give you what you ordered. So if you want, we'll give you your money back," or, you know, that kind of thing. But there was this moment of, wait a second, you made a promise. But you see, they made a promise based on something that they didn't have yet. And it's easy for us to do that, isn't it? It's easy for us to make these promises on things that are not ours to give. We do them with good intentions, right? We do that. We give these promises all within good intentions, and then the reality comes down to, oh well, you know, when I said that, you know, I thought I was going to have this. I thought I was going to have the money in the bank, and the money didn't show up, or I thought I would have the time, and you know what? All of a sudden, all this happened, and we realize that if I don't have what it is that I want and promise to give, I can't give it. So it's important for us that Jesus is the possessor, as the eternal, everlasting Father, that He is the possessor of eternity, and He therefore can be the giver of eternity. In John chapter 3, verses 34 through 36, it says, "For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives His Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." Eternal life here we see is given through Jesus. But it says there that, isn't it God who is giving it through the work of Jesus? I mean, we can take that angle if you read that way. But also look at when Jesus was hanging on the cross in Luke 23. Luke 23, Jesus is on the cross and he's got a thief on either side. One's mocking him and the other one is saying, look, you know, he doesn't deserve this. And then the thief on the cross turns to Jesus and says, hey, remember me when you enter into heaven. And look at the words of Jesus. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. How could Jesus say this if he didn't possess eternity and the ability to give eternal life? And so he is able to give life to those who need it. Again, to clarify it a little bit more, go to John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Here Jesus is talking about his sheep. And he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Now, I love these words because notice what he's saying. These are my sheep. They hear my voice. They follow me. I give them eternal life. Notice that he doesn't say, because of what I'm going to do, God the Father will give them eternal life. No, his point is, I give them eternal life. But we need to understand this very clearly. It is for those who hear and listen to his voice and are his sheep. Not every person gets eternal life in heaven. Jesus is the giver of eternal life, but there's this place where he's saying, in order to receive this from me, you need to be my sheep. You need to be my follower. You need to decide and believe in me. Before we move on, can I just simply ask that question? Have you made that decision? Are you a sheep of his? Because understand this, to reject the truth of Jesus as the giver of eternal life, as everlasting Father, is also rejecting the gift that he has offered. And we can get angry as we want at God, but it's our decision to make. Because understand that if Jesus possesses eternity, he is the giver of eternity. He is the everlasting Father. This is the heart of our Heavenly Father. He is our Heavenly Father. And this is where you take these two aspects that we just talked about, and now you bring it into, what does it mean that He is our Heavenly Father? What does this look like? Well, for eternity, for all of eternity, He will function as our Father role. Now, we could unpack just this. What does it look like that He is our Heavenly Father for a long time? But there's a few that I want to touch on this morning in the moments we have. And the greatest part of this is going to be His eternal kingly reign. Look with me at Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 24. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The truth is, I would give my life for any of my family members. I love my family. I love my immediate family. I love my extended family. And yes, you know, we have this love, and we would do anything. I would do anything for them. But even my love in that falls very short of God's love for us, for the Father, or for Jesus' love for us. And this is an eternal love that never fails. It never falls short. There's never a moment where Jesus will say to us for all eternity, oops, I made a mistake. There's never a moment where He will tell us He loves us and shows us something else. His love will remain unconditional for all eternity. Look at Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all of your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is incredible because this gives us a picture of our everlasting Father, the things, His love for all eternity, His forgiveness for all eternity. Understand that we get all flustered in this life, and even now we find that we will forgive and then we kind of take it back. Have you ever done that? You know, someone comes and they do something and then they ask for your forgiveness and you're like, yeah, I forgive you, and then you hold it against them for the next year. Right? Understand, He never does that. He will never do that for all eternity. He has forgiven us of all our... That's what it says, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgave us our sins. But notice what else it says in there. Another part about Him being our everlasting Father. He heals all our diseases. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of having a sick child or someone in your family that has had to deal with something that's horrible. It's not fun. It's not fun to sit there and see them hurt. And so here we see this, and look what it says, that His love, every day, no matter what, He heals, He forgives our sins, He heals all of our diseases. Understand, imagine what this means. For all eternity, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He establishes His kingdom. There will be no sickness, there will be no disease, there will be no problems when we reach all of eternity. Why? Because that's how much He loves His children. Think about that person that was born with a handicap. That their whole life on this earth has had to live with some deficiency of in some way. Think of the person who for years of their life have had to deal with a disease that has incapacitated them in some aspect. This individual, when they stand before their everlasting Father, that's all gone. And for all eternity, they will never have to deal with a handicap. No person who ever had a migraine on this earth, all migraines are going to be gone for all of eternity. If you have to deal with hearts going out of rhythm, guess what? Your heart will stay in rhythm for all eternity. Why? Because our loving Father, eternal, everlasting Father, will love that. Cancer will never invade a body for all of eternity. Does this sound like a good dad? As a father, Scripture says that He satisfies us with good things. I love that part in there. He satisfies us. Not only does He give us life, not only does He love us unconditionally, not only does He, for all eternity, forgive our sins, not only does He heal us of all of our diseases, but He also gives us good things. You know, I don't know if you're the same way, but it is fun to give to people you love, isn't it? You know, whether it's a gift or even just like a, hey, let's go get a coffee at Starbucks. There's something that feels good inside that. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I liked the other side of it. I liked the side of getting, right? I mean, we kind of were all there at one time. But I remember my folks would go away on trips. And I would get excited when Mom and Dad left us to go on trips. Not because that meant that we could do bad things while they were gone. Sometimes happened. But what I loved was when they came home, they would always bring something to us as kids. Now, it was usually not anything very expensive. It was some kind of a toy or something from their trip that they went and did. And you know, they'd bring it home and they're like, I got something for you. And we're all excited because Mom and Dad brought us something and they got joy in giving it to us and they got joy in seeing us get this. Understand that our everlasting Father has a desire to give good things to His children. He doesn't hold back. Now, I need to clarify something here because what I'm not saying here is, oh, great, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have as big of a mansion as I can have. He's going to give me a 10-car garage, and I'm going to have every sports car that I ever wanted, and money's going to be full. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Notice what He says. He satisfies our desires with good things. For all of eternity, He will give those things that we need for all of eternity. I mean, can you imagine not having to think every day about making sure that your needs are met for your family? Can you imagine for all eternity not having to worry about getting a job so that you can pay the bills? Can you imagine for all of eternity never having the fear of getting a pink slip, never having the fear of having anything bad happen to you, never having to worry about loss at all? Because our Heavenly Father satisfies us with good things. This is our Heavenly Father. I want you to look at a few verses down in Psalm 103 to verse 8 now, because we see more. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Okay, again, as I said earlier, there are those that struggle with the idea of everlasting Father because of this very point that there are fathers who have not been this. And this is the great thing about this point. We talk about things, the names were given to Jesus. This will be His eternal reign, but understand, this is now where Jesus functions as our King. And we experience this now, that He is slow to anger. You know, this is such an important aspect for us to get. Because one of the things that we find in many homes of today is that the louder Dad yells, the more physical Dad gets, the more I need to be in line. And we find that in homes today that Dad's discipline has become abusive in a lot of ways. But understand, Scripture tells us that God disciplines those He loves. And the right discipline is necessary. Now, I'm not going to get into what, right? What's discipline, what it shouldn't be discipline. I'm not getting into those kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you something, that growing up, I had the right view of what discipline was for my father. You know, I did plenty of things bad. I did enough things that I got into trouble every once in a while, and I was a boy. I was all boy. But there was some things when I got into trouble, and my dad was the one. When I knew I was in trouble when it was, you're going to talk to Dad. You know, when Mom said, you're in trouble, and she took care of it, it was like, okay, that's I'm in trouble. When it was, you're talking to Dad, that was, you're in trouble. And I'll never forget that when my dad would come home and Mom would tell him what I had done, and he would look at me and he'd say, Pete, you need to go to your room for a minute. You need to think about this. In my mind, I'm going, death is about to occur. And he would get himself ready, and he would walk up to my room, and he would sit down on the bed next to me, and I'm afraid. I'm not scared. Really, actually, he'd always done it so well. He would sit down on the bed next to me, and he would look at me, and he'd say, Pete, do you know what you did wrong? And I'd be like, yeah, I know what I did wrong. And then he'd look at me, and he'd say, do you understand why I need to discipline you now? Yes, I understand why you need to discipline me. When he had disciplined me, he would always look at me and he would say, Pete, I want you to know that I do this because I love you. You know, and I remember as a kid at one point in time thinking to myself, I don't get this. You say you're disciplining me because you love me. It doesn't feel very good. But then I realized, remember when I talked in the beginning about how all of a sudden I had the mantle of Father placed on me. All of a sudden I began to realize exactly what he was saying. It's not always the fun things that a dad has to do that show love. The Lord disciplines those he loves. The Father disciplines those he loves. But then the last thing that my dad always did was afterwards he would sit there, and after he had gone through this, we had talked, he had disciplined me, he would hold me and he would say how much he loved me. Now understand the heart of a father. A little bit farther in Psalm 103 verse 13, it says, the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We understand the compassion of God. He understands who is. Compassion is a word that, understand this, compassion is a word that says that you sympathize and understand the other person's weakness. God is the God and Father of compassion. He has compassion. He understands where we're at. He understands that right now we're in a place where sin pervades, comes into our lives. Sin prevails in many ways. And he understands that we are going to be tempted in every way. And he understands because he lived it. He understood how it functions. He knows how Satan works. And so when he comes in, he's like, I love you with so much love that it hurts me to see you struggling with this. And he has compassion. He feels for us. How many of you like those shows like America's Funniest Home Videos? Fail Army videos, you know, those videos where people are riding their bike and they run into telephone poles. And what do? We laugh. You know, we're horrible people, aren't we? We get this sadistic joy out of seeing people hurt themselves. You know, some guy jumping off of his roof onto a trampoline and gets smacked into the side of the barn. I mean, we sit there and we watch these things and then we pass them on to one another and say, you got to see this. Moron. You know, it's amazing. And yet our eternal, everlasting Father understands who we are. He understands that the fallen nature of who we have become. He understands all of that. And even in the midst of that, he loves us with an unconditional love. This is the everlasting Father. He didn't look down from heaven and laugh at us because we were making dumb mistakes left and right. He didn't look at us and go, boy, those guys are going to have a tough life. And no, he had compassion upon us enough that it drove him to send his Son. Jesus had compassion enough that he would come, he would give up his divinity for a time to come as a child, to be in a manger, to be raised like the rest of us. He would live just like you and I lived. He would experience fatigue. He would experience hurt. He would experience pain. He would go through all of that life. He would then be committed to the cross. And he would experience the Father turning his back on him. Why? Because he had compassion on his children. Now understand that this is the heart of the everlasting Father who will rule for all eternity. We look at a little child in a manger at Christmas, and we sing about how small, how meek, how mild, how tender that moment was. Imagine your everlasting Father for all eternity looking at you with those compassionate eyes and saying, "Welcome home." This Christmas, as our challenge has been throughout these past couple of weeks, is to take a different look and a different perspective at the Christmas story. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Is He your everlasting Father today? Let's pray. Father, what an encouraging picture we have. Our minds cannot truly grasp how incredible this name is. But we thank You that You are the possessor of all eternity. And we thank You that You have chosen to give this gift of eternal life to those who follow You. And that from this moment on, for all eternity, we will experience the love of an eternal Father, of an everlasting Father, in a way that we have never experienced on this earth, whether that's good or bad for us. We thank You that You love us unconditionally and that Your compassion and mercies never fail. And Lord, may we take the name of Everlasting Father with us wherever we go, bragging about who You are and all You have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.